This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of MaxList. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ben Vorstag, Managing Director of MaxList, and Jenna Forstrom, our Community Manager. This week, we're talking about cover letters, one of the most popular topics here at Find Your Dream Job. Google the words cover letter, and you will find lots of debate about tactical questions regarding formats, salutations, and who you should write. Our guest expert this week, Susan Rich, says people are missing the most important point of all. An employer has a problem that needs to be solved. According to Susan, the applicant who shows that she or he can solve that problem has a huge advantage. Susan will share with us her best advice about how you can do this in your next cover letter. This week's resource is from Ben, and he has a list of action verbs you can use in your own cover letters, resume, and LinkedIn profile. And Jenna has a question from a reader about the tone and format you should use when applying for a job. Our show this week is brought to you by our sponsor, the Weekend Resume Makeover Online Course. It's developed by national resume expert Jenny Foss. To learn more about how you can develop a professional quality resume in just 2 days, visit maxlist.org/jobjenny. So, Jenna, Ben, you both hired people in the past, I think. What are some of the most effective cover letters you've seen?
I think the best cover letters are those that present a compelling narrative around the applicant's career, what they've done to this date, but wrapping those experiences around a central problem that shows, you know, that central problem being the problems that we have at our organization as expressed through the job description. You know, when I review these cover letters, the ones that really stand out are the ones that, you know, clearly the applicant has done some research about the organization. They know what we do. They know who we represent. They have some sense of what our challenges might be. And then they framed their experience in a way that speaks to each of those challenges in a way that a chronological resume may not do so.
So it sounds like you're firmly in Susan Rich's camp. Think about the employer's problems and how you can address them.
I mean, that's why employers hire, right? They've got problems. If they didn't have a problem, they wouldn't be bringing on new personnel.
Okay. How about you, Jenna? What's been your experience when you've read cover letters?
So I've never hired anyone before, and the times that I've been involved with the hiring process didn't involve a cover letter. And that would be when I was like 15 to 21 when I was a lifeguard. A little different.
Yeah, but still there was a process. Let's turn to Ben, who's out there every week thinking about resources you, our listeners, can use. And he's looking at blogs, podcasts, and other tools you can use in your job search. Ben, what's on your list this week? What have you discovered for us?
So this week I want to talk about a blog post from themuse.com, and it's called 185 Powerful Verbs That Will Help Make Your Resume Awesome. Now, I toyed around with the idea of trying to read through all 185 verbs, but decided against it for time's sake. I will leave it to our listeners to download the full list, but let me talk kind of briefly about what we're getting here. So, you know, we all have to write resumes. We all have to write cover letters. And we describe what we've done in our past experience in these documents. And one of the worst things you could do is be repetitive or in the words that you use to describe your past experience. So, like, how many times are you going to say, I manage this, I manage that? Or, you know, using the phrase, like, I was responsible for. It's a pretty passive way of speaking, and it's pretty boring. So this is a list of verbs that you could use instead to frame your experiences in a more powerful way. One thing you want to remember is hiring managers are often reviewing dozens or even hundreds of resumes each day, and you want to use language that stands out and highlights your abilities. So this list has broken out a bunch of verbs according to different categories, and these are the best verbs to use if you led a project, if you envisioned or brought to life a project, if you saved the company time or money, if you increased efficiency, sales, revenue, or customer satisfaction, if you changed or improvised something, if you managed a team, if you brought in partners, funding, or resources, if you supported customers, you were a research machine, any kind of thing that you might have done, they've got a list of good verbs there to use to frame your experience. I want to add as well, you know, about power words, this isn't just some kind of gimmick that people are pushing out there. There is some science behind what a power word is. You know, smart writers carefully choose their words to create an emotional reaction from the audience, and this helps capture and hold the reader's attention. Your resume and your cover letter obviously aren't melodramatic novels. Hopefully not. But this same trick can help your application material stand out from the crowd. So it's a nice little resource. It's the kind of thing that you might want to have pulled up when you're refreshing your resume next time. Again, it's from themuse.com, and it's 185 powerful verbs that will make your resume awesome. And a link will be in the show notes.
Well, that's great. And one of the takeaways that I'm getting from this conversation is don't begin your cover letter or your resume with "it was a dark and stormy night."
Correct.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, all three of us, part of what we do for a living is write for the MaxList blog and other platforms. And I think we each know the value of having tools like this, lists of powerful words or things that make us better writers, whether we're writing for a blog or writing a cover letter. So that's a great list, Ben. Thank you. Now, let's turn to Jenna, who is out there listening to you, our listeners, every week. She's got a question she's going to answer. And who is this week's question from, Jenna?
This week's question comes from Becky, and her question was, with email being the primary form for applying for applications these days, how formal do cover letters need to be? Do I still need to include an employer's address, for example? If you are applying for a job via email or inserting your cover letter into a text box, I would scrap the employer's formal address. But if you're uploading a cover letter, so it's a PDF or Word document, I would still include that information, kind of keeping it to the more formal doctrine. If you are applying and you come from more of a creative industry, so like a graphic designer or a writer with a portfolio or some sort of visual creative field, I would encourage you to think outside the box if and like only if you're applying personally to someone. So if you're sending an email to Mac specifically for a role versus careers at a company XYZ. Those kind of catch-all email addresses could be going to a hiring manager who doesn't really appreciate the creative and they're just trying to fill a role, or it's not going directly to that exact person that you're looking for. What do you guys think about this?
So one of the questions I've gotten, which is similar to this, is when you're applying online, should your cover letter be in the email? Like, should the copy of your email essentially be your cover letter? My take is usually, you know, attach your cover letter as a document to the email, and the email body itself can just be a short, my name is Ben, I'm interested in this position, attached are my application materials for your review, please contact me at your phone number and address and so forth. I think kind of putting your cover letter in the email diminishes the impact of your email. It also makes it harder to print that document out, which is how I think most hiring managers are looking at things nowadays.
I think you first begin with whatever instructions the employer has laid out. So some human resource departments can be very specific, and they'll say, send us an attachment in this form, PDF or MS Word or Google Doc. They can get down to that level of detail. Whatever it might be, follow those instructions, because if you don't, you may find yourself taken out of competition. And then I think it depends on the culture of the organization. For me, if you're writing to an outfit that you know from having done your homework is just three or four people, it may be just fine to send your cover letter in the form of an email. And you might even follow convention and just say, hi, Jenna. Or you might want to say, dear Ms. Forstrom. But you'll know based on what your homework tells you about that organization, its culture. But first of all, follow the instructions, whatever they may give.
I might have mentioned this before, but I know one of my former bosses used to put very specific instructions in the application materials. Things like the subject line of your email should be, and then she would like list a very specific subject line with the idea that if you weren't reading that instruction and following that rule, she didn't even want to look at your application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is important to get the format right, but the real heart of this discussion I think we're going to get to with Susan later in the show, which is how you should use your cover letter to make the best case for your candidacy.
Great.
So if you have a question for Jenna, please email her. Her email address is jenna@maxlist.org. These segments are sponsored by the Weekend Resume Makeover course from renowned resume coach Jenny Foss. Now, when you find that perfect job, you may need to craft a killer application very quickly, one that gets noticed and gets you an interview. And if you need to do it quickly, before someone else snags your dream job, Jenny can help. You could pay for a custom resume, or you can save time and money by learning the tips and tricks for resume writing yourself. Job Jenny's Weekend Resume Makeover course teaches you how to think like a hiring manager. Then it takes you step by step through a proven process to make your resume stand out and get the attention your application deserves. The Weekend Resume Makeover captures everything Jenny Foss does best, making things simple, getting results, and having a bit of fun along the way. To see the Weekend Resume Makeover course for yourself, you can visit maxlist.org/jobjenny. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Susan Rich. Susan Rich is an expert speaker and trainer and a professional journalist with more than 1 million words in print. She owns and operates Rich Writing, a marketing and copywriting agency, and she's the author of How to Write a Kick-Butt Resume Cover Letter. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming into the Max List studio. It's always a pleasure to have do these interviews in person. Now, Susan, in your book, you say that before people begin to write a cover letter, the first step everybody needs to understand is that a job search is a business transaction. Tell us more about this and why that's important.
I think it's important for people to understand, with all the information that's available on the internet today, I think the idea that gets lost is that the reason why a job exists is that a company has a problem and it needs to have it solved. If there's no problem, there's no job. So I encourage job seekers to think of themselves as problem solvers, because then you're positioning yourself, you're coming at your job search from a position of strength and expertise and knowledge and power. When we look at ourselves as job seekers, that's a temporary condition and it can be frustrating and anxiety producing. But instead, if you understand that you're a problem solver and have been since you're 5 years old and you're trying to negotiate for that extra cookie for dessert, we know how to solve problems. It's a lifelong skill. So again, understanding that companies are looking for people to fill jobs to solve problems that they have. And so I want you to consider yourself as a problem solver.
So begin by recognizing that we all have one of our strengths that we all have is that we have skills and experiences as problem solvers, and that will make us an even more attractive candidate to an employer when we understand those problems and understand what we have to offer.
Exactly. And understanding that what you want to do is present the benefits of hiring you for the job. And so, again, as a problem solver, you have a skill set and you present benefits to hiring yourself. So it's not just saying, hey, I'm great, I'm wonderful. It's talking about the features and the attributes that you possess and then convincing an employer that you're going to solve a problem in a way that no one else can.
Okay, so let's break that down and translate it into a cover letter, Susan. You talked about your background in marketing and how good marketers think about the benefits and the features and, above all, the problem of the company or client they're serving. How can people who are applying for jobs apply those ideas to a cover letter?
So a couple of points that I like to encourage people to think about is, while there's a lot of information online about what should go into a cover letter, what's generally missing is how to organize your thoughts and pick a key message. And that's because writing a cover letter is not a skill that's taught in school. It's not taught in college. It's not taught in the unemployment line. And so what I encourage people to do is think about it in terms of what I call the inverted pyramid. And that is, I want you to look at the job description, your resume, and the things that excite you, and understand that you're going to start your letter with a headline. I can talk more about that in a moment. And then the most important ideas first, the number one reason why you should be considered for the job, and organize that in descending lines of importance. So your most important fact first, followed by others in descending order of importance. And then when you're done, you're simply going to ask for the interview or you're going to ask for the job.
Okay, so have a headline, and like a good reporter, think about that inverted pyramid. And I think all of us have probably come across that idea in a writing class in high school or college, but we don't apply that to cover letters, do we?
I work with a lot of job seekers who are a little bit older, and the more years of experience that we have, the harder it is to see ourselves in our number one skill set, because we've had so many jobs and so much life experience. And so the inverted pyramid helps you organize your thoughts and pick a key message. When you sit down and go through what I call the 3-2-1 rule, which is basically, if I was interviewing you live for the job, Mac, and I said, give me 3 reasons why I should hire you for the job right this very minute, you could, because you'd be so amped by the job experience. If I said, okay, I've got your 3 reasons, now give me your top 2 reasons, you would. And if I said, give me the number one reason why I should give you the job right this very minute, you would. That number one reason is what I want you to use when you write your cover letter. And that should be your headline. And then the headline ties into that first opening statement, why you excel at what you do, why that job is a good fit for you, how you're going to benefit the company, how you're going to solve a problem in a way that no one else can.
So when I read your book, it was clear that you're a big fan of headlines. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that and why headlines can make a big difference.
Big difference.
Not only in a cover letter, but in a job search.
8 out of 10 people read a headline and not one word more. And so statistically, if you put a headline on your cover letter, most of us are going to read it. And so I don't want you to think about the scanning process. I want you to think about the idea that if you're putting forward any information, whether you're emailing your cover letter or you're putting together something, I want you to think about the headline as your subject line, because it's the number one reason why someone should hire you for the job or talk to you for the job. It encapsulates your top skill set in as few words as possible. And I want you to include your name, because your cover letter is a sales letter. It's a marketing tool. And the more often you can get your name into the cover letter, the more likely the reader is to remember who you are, even if it's just your initials.
So I know as a trained reporter and journalist, Susan, you've learned there's an art to writing a good headline. Mm-hmm. And what are the elements of a good headline that people who are creating one for their cover letter should keep in mind?
That's an excellent question. Strong, vibrant language. And so most of us are afraid to put themselves out there. But this is a job search, and you want to convey the enthusiasm you have for working for this company. And so I want to encourage people who are listening to this show to say to themselves, I'm a creative, okay? I myself am a creative. So I'm going to write a headline that is really aggressive and strongly worded. I want you, as a problem solver slash job seeker, to write the most potent headline that is comfortable for you to write. And the reason why, again, is that your screener, your HR person, the person who's going through all these resumes and cover letters is a little tired, it's a little overwhelming, it's frustrating, and the arbitrary style of going through a mountain of information is to say no as quickly as possible. So the headline is supposed to stop them in their tracks. And so you want to come up with something that's very engaging, very colorful, and use very vibrant language.
And we've talked on previous shows about the importance of using keywords, especially if a company or organization is using an automated tracking system. Tell us about the pluses and minuses of keywords, not only in headlines, but in cover letters. What's your best advice about them?
It's understanding that keywords matter, but past a certain point, a keyword is just like an average, ordinary sounding word. And so you have to use keywords because that's what you're being searched on. But I want you to make sure that what you bracket them with, and so I'm a really big fan, get a thesaurus, really work hard on very punchy, strong, descriptive language. You don't have to be a professional writer, but you have to think hard about the keywords in and of themselves become bland. And they're in there just to serve the tool of getting you found. After that, you want to push your personality out into the cover letter, out into your resume, so that you catch the eye of your reader.
Let's paint a picture for our listeners, Susan. You talked about having a headline. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing if it's an email communication or it's on paper, it's mm-hmm. it's either in the subject line or at the top of the letter. Is that right?
That's correct. Oh. So exactly. It could be the subject line. It could be the top of the letter. But it is generally the first thing. And even if you're emailing, it should be part of your subject line. Or let me back up, because sometimes when they ask for your information to be emailed, they're going to give you very specific instructions. And that's like a little test. Whatever they tell you to put in the subject line, put in the subject line. If they don't give you information, if they leave it kind of open, then you want to put a snippet of your number one reason why you should be considered for the job, followed by your name, because your name is your brand, and then followed by a job number or something that lets the person skimming their email list understand that it's what you are applying for, and make their lives easier, because we get dozens of emails in a day, and the question is, what can they do to figure out that you're the person, you're the email they want to open first?
Okay, so the first law of a successful cover letter is follow the instructions.
Yes.
Okay. But when there's room for creativity, and mm-hmm. you're not given a specific directive, then there's an opportunity to make your case with a great headline. And then you encourage people to follow the inverted pyramid structure mm-hmm. and have those three reasons. How are people organizing that material? Just, again, paint the picture for our listeners, Susan. What is that email or cover letter going to look like? Is it a list of three bullets? Is
oh, it I see what you're asking.
Three numbers?
It can be, so depending on how much information you want to include in the cover letter, you have, you know, so your headline can follow a variety of formats. You can have a list, and list headlines are very popular because most of us are compulsive about writing lists and reading other people's lists. The second style of a headline is a question. And if you write a question headline, you don't want it to be yes, no, or I don't care. You actually want it to stop somebody and make them think about the question that you're asking. And the third style headline would be something that's just exciting. And so if you're not going to have a list and you're not going to ask a question, you're going to have something very exciting, something very compelling about yourself. So that's the headline. The first sentence in your cover letter is the opening hook. And you're going to fill out, you're going to address that exciting statement that you've made. And then from there, you're going to just break down, again, that 3-2-1 rule. All I'm asking you to do is come up with three compelling reasons why someone should talk to you about the job. And then you're going to include facts and figures or proof points, and you're going to just fill out each three reason. And then you're going to summarize it, and you're going to come up with a conclusion and a sales message, basically why someone should call you in for an interview, and then you're going to close. So the cover letter has five main ingredients: the headline, the opening hook, it's got your facts and figures, your proof points, you're going to ask for the interview because it's why you wrote the letter in the first place, and then you're going to close. So that's the structure of the cover letter.
That's well said, Susan. And I know we'll include links to your website and your book, so our listeners who want to see specific examples of that structure in action can see that. Now, tell me, you've worked with hundreds of people. What are some of the great headlines that you've seen?
My favorite one off the top of my head. My favorite one is "Not Afraid of Cold Call, Bob Green Gets Sponsors for Nonprofits." And the reason why that's my favorite headline, and I worked with a job seeker to come up with it, is every time I teach the workshop and I get around to this part of it, you say to people, how many of you like to make cold calls? And nobody likes to make cold calls, except for one person. And they raise their hand and they smile kind of sheepishly. And I say, if you have a skill that you know nobody else has or likes to do, promote it in your cover letter. Because companies need that job filled. And they don't want someone who says to themselves, well, I think I can learn how to do it and I might learn to like it one day. They actually want the Bob Greens who come forward and say, I like making cold calls. And not only do I do that, I generate sponsorships. Sponsorships are the big dollars. They're not the $10 little donations. They're actually getting Nike to sign on to do something. So in one headline, Bob Green is telling you, I'm not afraid of cold calls. I'm not afraid to pick up the phone. Not only that, I kick butt at that skill. So then the opening hook would be something like, when I believe in a cause, I get results. I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and get volunteers and donors and sponsorships. And then you put in your name. My name is Bob Green, and I'm good at making cold calls. And here's why you should consider me for a job with your company.
That's a great example. Well, we need to start wrapping it up. Susan, tell us what's next for you. What's coming up for Rich Writing?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. Well, one of my most favorite things in the world is to actually give a talk on how to write cover letters, and it's a free talk. And so we can do it live, we can do it as a phone call, a webinar. I just would really invite people to come in and invite me to join their networking group. And of course, you can learn more about me and the book on my website, endthejobsearch.com.
Great. We'll include links to your website and the book in our show notes. So thanks so much for joining us, Susan.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here today.
Ben, Jenna, what did you two think of the conversation with Susan?
I thought it was great. You know, I just love framing everything around being a problem solver. Again, because that's why organizations are hiring. They're looking for people to solve their problems. And her advice about putting headlines into your cover letter as structured bullet points or talking points of how you're arranging your thoughts, I think that's fantastic because it really allows you to frame your past experience in a way that positions you as a problem solver.
How about you, Jenna?
I also liked her push for headlines because it makes you think, like, what would your headline be and how would you market yourself given a role or a new opportunity?
I like the idea of a headline too, because there's nothing like having to condense your central idea into 6 or 7 words to force you to be clear about what you offer.
Right.
And I think that's always a good exercise.
I liked how she started talking about headlines with, like, give me the three reasons I should hire you, because she was right. Like, when you're thinking about a role and you're dreaming about being in that role, it's really easy to be like, well, here are my top three qualities. And then, okay, well, what are your top two? And then what's your number one? And then expand on that more to build your headline.
And I think there's just so much value nowadays when people are so overwhelmed with content and words. And if you're a hiring manager, you might be looking at 100 resumes. To have, like, clear, focused reasons in that cover letter, if they're literally headlines, bolded lines or in bullets that express why you are the best candidate for this, it just makes the job for the hiring manager all the easier to find you, pull you out of that stack and say, this is someone I want to talk to.
Her big idea, which is to think of ourselves as problem solvers and thinking about the problems that employers have, I think is very important, because ultimately the candidates who do that are the ones who stand out, especially in a crowded pool. So it's very good advice. Well, thank you both. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us. If you like what you hear on the show, you can help us by leaving a review and a rating at iTunes. Now, this helps others discover our show, and it helps us serve you all better. One of the reviews we received recently is from Margot O'Malley, who writes, "Find Your Dream Job is about so much more than finding your next job. It also looks at the big picture and gives you real, actionable steps you can take now to help you in the long run. I've been inspired to ask myself new questions," writes Margot, "and in the process have learned things about myself that I hadn't really put into words before. I certainly recommend this show to anyone, even if you're not thinking about looking for a new job right now." Thank you, Margot, and thanks to the more than 100 listeners who've left a rating for the show. Please take a moment to leave your own comment and rating. Just go to www.maxlist.org/iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday with more tools and tips you can use to find your dream job.